It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Redeem us, Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
No greater way could it.
He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, and good Tuesday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. At this time or any time, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America and of the spiritual awakening. And that could be a personal revival, which I had way back in 1966, when everything began to change in my life. God said to me, "Give it the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." I did. He did, and sent me on now a journey. I've been ministering, preaching the gospel for 49 years. Gene and I, in our 50th year of ministry, the year of Jubilee, and we are very thankful and grateful for the opportunity to be on BPN Radio, praying around the clock, and have been since about November the 19th. Thank you for believing with us. And this Thursday, we'll celebrate three consecutive years of sending out prayers by email. And we've sent out over 1,000 prayers each day for the past 3 years. And we started on the seventh day of August 2012. And here we are, almost that day. So, if you're not getting our daily prayers, you can do so by going to letsprayamerica.com, letsprayamerica.com, and then you just go down to the sign-up place, click on that, fill in the information, submit it. There's no cost for registration, and your church, your name, your church, your city will, of course, be included. So, there you have it. Good to have you listening in. And one of the major problems, probably the major problem in the church today, is unforgiveness. And today we have a young man that tells, that's going to tell one of the most amazing stories you've ever heard on forgiveness. I've never heard a story like this one. And so we're going to have Darren Frank. He'll be on today, whose sister and mother were both murdered, and his father was severely wounded. And so he's going to be on to tell the story about what happened. Amazing story by Darren Frank. And he'll be on in just a few moments. And we're going to have two or three special things that we want to pray about before Darren comes. But first of all, the music today is being sung by my friend Godfrey Bertle. And he's going to sing this song that I really like. I'm going to set my face to seek the Lord. I was had the opportunity to be with Godfrey Bertle just a few weeks ago in Austin, Texas, and we reminisced some wonderful things. He's been ministering with me for a long time, since about 1998. And he's going to sing a song that says, I'm going to set my face to seek the Lord. And that's what we're going to do here on BPN Radio. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In this broadcast here on this Tuesday, the will and plan and purpose of God be done here on BPN Radio. And as we set our face to seek the Lord.
I will.
We have Dr. Bertle. I'm going to set my face to seek the Lord. That's exactly what we're doing here on BPN Radio. We're setting our face to seek the Lord and call upon Him, for He is worthy of all of our praise and adoration. So, Father, we are so thankful and grateful that we have the privilege and the opportunity just to pray and seek Your face and call upon Your name, Lord. I want us to pray today on this Tuesday for young people. We have a couple of longtime friends who are making a major difference in the state of Arizona concerning the public school system, Hal and Cheryl Sachs, and they are asking Christians to get involved in the public school systems there, and they have written a manual for people to a prayer guide for young people to use in their back to school prayers in that state and other states. And they said it's awesome to see how there are 21 days of prayer for Arizona schools. It's taken on a life of its own. It's become a grassroots movement. And so you can get that prayer guide for you and your sons and daughters by going to bridgebuilders.net-21-days-of-prayer-for-az-schools. Anyhow, that's kind of complicated, but just go to bridgebuilders.net, and you can get more information about a prayer guide for your sons and daughters as they go back to school. And they're encouraging Christians to play a very influential role in the public schools by running for school boards or the Board of Education. And we know that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has found that local school boards play a critical role in the success of their district's schools. And these board members have tremendous authority to make decisions at a local level, are responsible for planning for the future public schools in their community, setting goals and vision, establishing policies for the superintendent who manages day-to-day operations, being accountable to the community to make sure schools are run well, hiring, evaluating the district superintendent, overseeing the budget, setting salaries for employees, approving purchases, approving curriculum materials, making decisions on closing or constructing schools. And so the role of school board member is one of the most important, influential in your community. And so you have an opportunity to really get involved in your school by running as a Christian, for running for the school board in your area, in your district, in your city, and your community. And if you are sending your children to a public school, I know that that's great risk. Some parents may not have any other choice. If you can send them to a Christian school or homeschool, we recommend that. But if not, you can certainly be involved in the life of that school, and you can play a part. So if you want to have a prayer guide for your son or daughter, then you can go to info@bridgebuilders.net. info@bridgebuilders.net. Hal and Cheryl Sachs. They can give you the information. And I just encourage all of you Christians to be involved. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray, Lord, today for parents as they make a decision on where their children are going to attend school this next year. Maybe it's already been determined by where they live. They don't have the option of a Christian school, or maybe not even a home school. I pray, Lord, that they would get involved in their local school. I pray that parents would not give the full responsibility of training their children to the local school teachers. But we know that parents are to be the primary factor in training their children, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and they will not depart from that training. And so, and we also pray for Christians to be involved in local schools, and that Christians would particularly run for a position on the school board. They would view the curriculum, they would have an opportunity to be involved, and that young people would be a light in those schools and a witness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And of course, we're continuing to pray here for 1,000 prayer leaders. 1,000 prayer leaders. And if you would like to be a prayer leader, we invite you to go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and get involved, if you will. And later on the program, we're going to be praying for these for some of these 1,000 prayer leaders. In just a moment, I'm going to have my special guest on today, Darren Frank, and he's going to minister on forgiveness, tell his story, and it's going to be awesome. So let's set our hearts today, if we will, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's prepare our hearts for this testimony. It's an amazing testimony. And here is Godfrey Berto to sing the prayer song.
You, Lord, and to know what you want me to do, I pray to hear you, Lord, and to know what you'd have me to choose. I pray that something of you will touch the hunger in me and cause a holy ignition. Come set me ablaze. I pray that nothing in me would stop the working of you, causing a real transformation. Come, have your way. Come, have your way. Come, Lord, and have your way. Come, have your way. come have your way. Yes, oh my, la 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 la. Come have your way.
Well, it's great to have with us here on BPN Radio today, Pastor Darren Frank from Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. And Darren has been my friend for many years. I've known him for a long time, since he was a teenager. And his mom and dad, I ministered for them starting years ago at a church that they founded, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas. Pastor Darren Frank, it's good to have you on the broadcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Dale. I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing through this radio broadcast.
Well, it's a delight to have you on. And, you know, you've shared your testimony at several different places where I've been. And I just want to, we're going to talk about forgiveness today, and I want you to pray for people that are having a very difficult time forgiving. And you have one of the most amazing testimonies concerning forgiveness that I have ever heard in my entire life and ministry. So would you just share a little bit about your story today, what happened to you, your family, and how you walked through this pathway of forgiveness? And then I want you to pray for people today that may be challenged with unforgiveness, saying, you know, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me, abused me, misused me, and I'm just having a difficult time forgiving. But I believe that people are going to be blessed by your testimony today. So share your story, Darren, and then we're going to pray.
Amen. Well, I know that unforgiveness across the board is almost in every person, I believe. And God wants to set us free. He wants us to make a decision to forgive. In 2009, I lost my brother to a tragedy, a death. And my mom and my family was just overwhelmed with the loss of my brother at the age of 42. And, we came together as a family. There was a lot of things that went on and, you know, just believed and started trusting the Father, God. And just, you know, a few weeks after losing my brother, my sister came to me and she said, you know, life is so short. I want to do everything that I can to advance the kingdom of God. I want to be the person that God created me to be. And she looked at me and she said, would you help me move away from my husband? This was in the month of October. And she asked me, on the day after Christmas, would you help me move to mom and dad's house? I just need a few weeks away from him to get some things aligned and to get some stuff straightened out. And I just said, you know, yes, I'll help you. Is there anything that I can do now? And she said, no, I just want to make sure that I can do all that God's called me to do. And so nothing else came about that. Just a few weeks before the Christmas time in 2009, she called me and she asked me that if anything would ever happen to her, would I take care of her children? And she said, now I want you to listen to me. Would you love my kids if something happens to me? And I told her at that time that we're family, that if anything would ever happen to her or children, that I would take care of everything, that we're family, and that's what family does. So we had a Christmas time, 2009, my mom, my dad, my sister, our family. It was a mighty time. And the day after Christmas, she called me and she said, okay, would you help me? And I went over to her home, and everything that she owned was in black trash bags. And she asked me to take everything that she had to my mom's house, which was about a mile and a half down the street. I knew at that time that she was really nervous, that she was wanting to hurry up. She has four children, three girls and one boy, that were very nervous that were there. And so we took all of the stuff and we moved her to my mom's house. Because the kids were a little bit nervous, I took the kids to get ice cream. We went to a movie. And when I came back to the house with the kids, I asked her, do you want me to stay here with you? Do you want me to just spend the night here? And she said, no, everything's going to be fine. I trust God. Just went home, and about midnight that night, I get a call from the Rosenberg Police Department asking me to come to my father and mother's house. I pull up at the scene, and there's yellow tape all around the home. And there's a policeman there that wants me to come to a car. And I'm just asking him, what happened, sir? What's going on? What happened? And he just asked me to come to where my sister's children were. And on the way, I stopped at an ambulance, and just wanting to know what's going on. I saw my father sitting in the ambulance, and he had blood all over his face and all over his clothes. And I looked up at him, and I knew that he was shaking, and I just said, Dad, what happened? And he looked at me, and I knew by looking at his eyes that my mom was dead. And he looked up and he said three words that changed my life. And it's three words that I continue to meditate on. He said, I forgive James. And these three words were the only words he was able to say. I found out that James broke into the home. James is my sister's husband for 14 years. He was a prison guard in the state of Texas. And he walked up the stairs, and he woke up the four kids. And in front of the kids, he killed my sister. My little niece runs out, and she gets my mother, and my mom hands her the phone, and she calls 911. And my mom meets James at the top of the stairs. And James, with a knife, really just, there's a brutality attack on my mom. And my niece is standing there the whole time this is happening, and she's already dialed 911, and it's completely on the records of 911 of my mom speaking into James, saying, James, Jesus loves you. He's the only one for you, James. James, he's the only answer for you. And she was doing this while she was being attacked. And her last words were, Jesus loves you. And you never heard anything else. All you hear is screaming. All you hear are the kids. So I walk over to the kids where they are in the back of a police car, knowing that my sister and my mom were dead, that James ran out the front door, stabbed my father in the back of his head, and now he's gone. The kids had blood from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. The faces of the kids were just, I can't even explain it really in words, how they looked and how afraid that they were.
Wow. But it's a very difficult time. Every time you share this story, I know it's very difficult, Darren, but I know that so many people need to hear your story. In fact, I've even given you prophetic words that one day there'll be a movie made of what happened, because so many people are walking in unforgiveness. And so, I mean, how did you come to a place where you could forgive James? I know he was on the run for a long time, and you took your sister's kids in, and they lived in your home, and you became a father to them. I know it was a very difficult time, especially while James was on the run. Can you describe a little bit about that?
Yes, they actually found James on March 6th, 2010, in North Carolina. We went on America's Most Wanted. John Walsh came to our family and said that he would like to help us and that he knows that they'll find James if we air on his show. And just a few weeks after the airing, it was on another show, Regis and Kelly, and there was a phone call. James was sitting in a mall in North Carolina. The police were able to go and just apprehend him. As far as the forgiveness, you know, I was able to hear my father say, "I forgive James." And those words just were so powerful to me. I just didn't know, though, how I was going to forgive him. You know, if someone takes your car, someone burns down your home, someone does stuff like that, I mean, it's so difficult. But those things are replaceable. And one day you'll get another car. One day you'll have another home. But if someone takes a family member from you, a mother, a sister, I know that there'll be a day that I'll see them again. But on this earth, I will never have them again, never be able to touch them, never be able to talk to them. I am very thankful that I've had them for the time that I did, but I really felt there was so much more in relationship that God wanted. And it just felt like that was just ripped away from me. When I saw James the first time in the courtroom, we walked into the courtroom. We were sitting there when they bring James in. He looks at my family, and he laughs at us so loud that they have to remove him from the courtroom and cancel the court that day. And I was being tormented, Dale.
Yeah.
I can't even express to you, but I know that there will be people that will be listening to this broadcast that can understand the torment from the enemy, where he's got your ear and he's screaming in it and there's nothing you can do. It feels like you're just hopeless and helpless, and he controls every thought, every moment. And I found myself just in bed and couldn't get up. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't wake up when I did go to sleep. I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
And I was being tormented by this laugh, by what happened. And, you know, just a few months into that, my wife came to me and she said, "You know, Darren, you're not the only one in this. We need your help. Your dad needs you. The kids need you. I need you. You need to get up." And I can't tell you what that did to me, even though I knew I needed to get up. I needed to do things. I found myself, I couldn't do it. I was just saying, "God, just take me." The torment was so much, I didn't even want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to hear what my dad said. "I forgive James." And I knew, because the book of Matthew talks about the king that wanted the debt paid, and the man that owed him so much, there was no way ever he was going to be able to collect the money that he ever was going to be able to pay him. And he fell down at the king's honor, and he begged him for forgiveness, begged him to pardon him. And the king released that debt that he owed. And then the man went right out, and with his hands, he grabbed someone that owed him a way less amount of money, and he demanded that he paid him. And the word continues to say that when the king heard this, that the king put that man in prison, and he allowed the tormentors to torment him until he was able to pay the debt. And I have to tell you that if I would not have been able to forgive James, that I would not be alive today, that I was in so much torment. I was being tormented by the enemy. And forgiveness, and this is what the broadcast needs to hear, the people, forgiveness is not something that I just can do. Forgiveness is a decision. And I didn't feel like forgiving him. I didn't want to forgive him. I had all the right not to. But I had to make a decision that I had to get the tormentors to stop.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision to forgive him. My dad was able to do it on the very day that this happened.
Wow.
I forgive James. I would say that daily. I didn't feel like doing it, but I knew that I had to get up out of the bed. I had to get up and move on. And for the first 7 days, I forgive James. James does not owe me anything. He never has to apologize to me. I forgive him for what he did. I release him into the hands of God. He owes me nothing. And I said that for another 7 days. And on the 14th day, I felt that I was getting confident in that decision. And then I moved back, it seemed like, to day one again. But I was constant. I have to forgive him. And the reason that I had to forgive him, number one, I was being tormented. But the second reason is that I wanted to release him off of my hook and put him on God's hook.
There you go.
My dad told me that James took the lives of two women of God.
Yeah.
And that God will deal with this, and that we put our trust in him. And I was not able to release that. I was not able to release him until I started that decision to forgive.
Yeah.
And for a whole year, I made a decision to forgive James. I woke up every morning with that decision, and I would say it all day long until I could feel some kind of release daily, just to wake up the next morning again to say it again.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus, "How often shall I forgive?" And he said, "Seven times." Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." I know that you've walked through this, Darren, and because of your not only willingness to forgive, but your determination to forgive, what has happened to you? I know we just have three or four more minutes here, but what has happened to you? What's happened to the kids? And what's happened to the church that you pastor and the school?
Yes. Well, the church and the people around the church definitely were following me in forgiveness. If I forgave, they were following me. My mom was a spiritual mother to the ministry. We have seen a mighty revival in our ministry, in our school, in our church. And it all started on making a decision to forgive. We had to forgive James as a church body. But as we forgave him, there were many people in many situations and circumstances that we had to forgive. We had to make a decision to forgive. And we started seeing, and I started feeling and knowing this personally, that I was being released. There was hope that came into my life, and hope is Jesus. And because of that hope, there was some healing that started, and healing's Jesus. And when I started moving into healing, there was freedom in my life. And I started just speaking that out to the people, and the people started really receiving great freedom because of healing, and healing because of decision to forgive. And we saw so many people be set free, and are set free even today. You know, I've said this, and there's so many miracles about this story. My children today are actually living back in the same room that my sister was killed in. And that's only supernatural. I don't want to go into all the circumstances of how we got back there, but we were completely led by God to move back into the home that I lost my brother, my mother, and my sister in. And in that home, there's God's presence. And that's the home that my father's in. And it's amazing what God is doing. So the church has just continued just to walk in freedom. It's moved out into our city now. Tonight, my oldest niece, Carissa, is taking a worship team into her school, Brazos High School, and has a speaker, and the entire school's going to be there, a high school, and they're going to hear the gospel. And she is so excited about what God is doing in her life. What happened in this story, Dale, is that felt like that we were stripped with every desire, every want that we ever had here in this earth, that so much was taken away from us, that the only desire that I have, that my family has, is to be and to do what God's called us to do. And that's taken away a lot of other things. And our purpose and our destiny is every moment, every morning to wake up and to be what God's called us to be. And there's a boldness that's flowing in our body, that's flowing in me because of the decision to forgive and how God has met us in forgiveness, that it's only by His grace and by His love that we're able to press forward in. So wow. We see God moving. I'm also working in the prison system. I know that there'll be a day that I'll look James face to face. I believe I don't want anybody to go to hell. It doesn't matter what someone does to me.
Right.
I wouldn't want that on anybody in this world.
Yeah.
And I want to look at him and for his children's sake and for his sake. I believe that I'm going to speak what my mother spoke, the very last words that he heard her say. I'm going to start with those same words, James, Jesus loves you. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but until that happens, I'm doing that in the prisons, Carol Vance unit, some units, Darrington unit. And I'm going to continue to be faithful until God says this is the time. And when he says that, I'm going.
Wow.
And only can go through God's strength.
Yeah.
I know that I'm one of the weakest men around, but because I know that I'm weak, I'm very strong.
Yeah.
Because I lean on his strength.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that he's here with me.
Wow. What an amazing testimony, Darren. And I know there's people listening that are struggling with forgiveness. I know if you can forgive and your sister's children can forgive and y'all can even move back into the same home where the tragedy occurred, I know that other people can forgive. And I want you to say a prayer for these people right now that may be struggling with unforgiveness.
Yes. Yes. One of the things I'm going to pray here, forgiveness is a decision. Again, you're not going to feel like doing it because of what's happened to you. You can stand and say it's not fair. And let me tell you, it wasn't fair. But until we're able to forgive, we will be tormented. And so let's pray. Father, we call out on your name. You're the one that heals.
Yes.
You're the one that sets us free.
Yeah.
You're the one that forgives. And Father, because you freely forgave me for everything that I've done, everything I'm doing, everything I will do, Father, I feel obligated to forgive others. And Father, I pray, God, for everyone listening right now. Father, I know that there are some traumatic things that happen in our world today, and there are things that are going to continue to happen. Father, I pray great freedom to be over your people because decision after decision after decision to forgive. Father, I pray, God, to even the minor things, to whatever's happened, Father, that we can rise up with your help and we can stand and we can say, I forgive James. Father, I was not able to do that by myself. Father, I needed to lean on your strength. And you say, Father, that when we're weak, that you are strong. You say, Father, that when we need you, that you would be there, that you're our refuge, that you're our strength. And Father, I call on your name right now. You know your sons. You know your daughters. You know what's happened to them. You know the situation. Father, I call on you that when that person rises up and they speak out that decision, that the heavens are going to open up and flood these people today, Father. Father, I pray, God, that you release, Father, these things that have happened to so many people that hearing our voices today. And Father, that we're able to release these people, the people that have done us wrong, whatever's happened. Father, even release ourselves from wrong, things that we have done, and give it to you, Father. Release it unto you. Release it into your hands. Father, I pray, God, for a miracle to happen even now over your people. Father, I pray that we can stand and that we can walk, God, day in and day out. And Father, that we can know, that we would know, Father, that we have nothing against a brother, and brothers have nothing against us, that we walk in fellowship and communion.
Yes.
And believing, Father, for
yes.
you to come.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we need your help. This is only done in you and through you. So, Father, I pray now, God, that you flood the rooms of the people right where they are, God, and that they would rise up with this decision and proclaim
yes,
it
Lord.
And speak it out
yes,
and
Lord.
Stand
Yes.
Until they release it in Jesus' name. Father, let it happen now.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I set myself in agreement with you, Darren. Thank you so very, very much for sharing your testimony. And, you know, I do know your schedule is very limited, but, you know, if anybody would like to have you to come to a church or to a group and share your testimony, pray for people. I know that you have limited time, but I know they would be tremendously blessed. How can people know about your church? Do you have a website or get in contact with you?
Yes. The website is www.colw.info. And our church phone number is 281-342-6336. I am willing to come. One of the things about the testimony is that we have been asked by many, many people to put it in a book, to do these things. But God has spoken to me very clearly that the testimony is not over yet, that we will see a mighty revival.
Yes.
And we are standing and believing on that. But he has told me that to only go where it would advance his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been to churches, and we have seen so many people released of unforgiveness and so many people set free. So I am willing to go if the timing works out, and it will only be to advance his kingdom.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, I would highly recommend that. I highly endorse you, Darren, and I've been honored that you have shared your testimony and some of the services that I've led, and always people are broken, touched, and ministered to. And so I bless you and the church, your family, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and that's near Houston, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and you can contact Darren. And thank you so much for being on the program today, and I know that people have been touched and blessed by your ministry. Thank you, Darren.
God bless you,
okay.
Bill.
Bye-bye. Lord, I thank you today for the power of forgiveness. We know that Peter said, how often shall I forgive? 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And Father, we know that our life must be a life of forgiveness. And we know today that many relationships are broken because of unforgiveness, or taking up an offense, or being offended. And Father, I pray that you would create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. And Lord, I pray that that clean heart will include a willingness to forgive, knowing that forgiveness is not an act of our emotions, it's an act of our will. We will forgive. We choose to forgive. And when an offense comes, we know that an offense can break up a relationship. We get offended, and then we don't call a person back. We lose contact with them. And we, in our hearts, have forgiven them, but relationships have been broken. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, concerning forgiveness, speak to us today. This incredible testimony by Darren Frank. And Lord, if he can forgive James, we can forgive whoever, whatever they have done to us. And Lord, we just take this opportunity again just to pause and say, Lord, search our hearts. If there be any wickedness in our hearts, we ask, O God, that you forgive us. In Jesus' name, thank you very much, Darren Frank, for that incredible, incredible testimony of forgiveness. Lord, I pray that the church will hear this word, and that Christians will hear this word, and be willing to walk in love and forgiveness. Let's just take a few moments. We get prayer requests here on BPN Radio, and if you have a prayer request, you can send it to bpnradio.com. There's a place to send your prayer request. And we will pray for you. Our national prayer coordinator, Cheryl Ortiz, will take your prayer request, send it to our national prayer team, and you will be able to have a lot of different powerful people praying with you. And you actually can send that that prayer request directly to Cheryl Ortiz by going to breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com. 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 You can send your prayer request directly there. But we're going to pray for a few of these requests right now that we have. And if you would just agree with me, that would be great. We are praying for Dennis from Germany, who needs salvation, healing from a stabbing injury and anger. We're praying for Billy, who needs healing from a genetic skin disorder, asking God to break generational curses. Betty needs healing and her hearing restored. Barbara needs healing from MS and a stroke. Would you pray for these people as I call their names? Kevin is waiting for a liver transplant, needs healing there. Robert is waiting for a lung transplant and healing there. Mark and Jenny, we pray for them today. Vernon needs healing from terminal cancer. Angeline needs healing. And we want to pray for Marlene, who has family relationships that need to be restored. We want to pray today for some other prayer requests. Phil needs healing from a diabetes and a congestive heart failure. So we want to pray for that prayer request. We also want to pray today for, let's see, there was another request I was looking at. Layton wrote this prayer request for her 85-year-old grandfather who has an appointment September the 14th, and there's a lot of suspected problems. Pray that all goes well. So let's do that right now. Father, we just pray for Layton's 85-year-old grandfather. Went to the heart doctor, the cardiologist, and they feel that there's a problem there. We just pray for this grandfather in Jesus' name, and pray for every need that is represented here on BPN on this Tuesday. And we want to pray right now for all of the prayer leaders that are a part of the Breakout Prayer Network. And we have a lot of prayer leaders. If you'd like to have a prayer group, get a prayer group started. If you just have a weekly prayer meeting, then we will send you a prayer list every Monday that you can include in your prayer time. We're believing God for 1,000 prayer leaders in 1,000 cities in America. And we trust that you will join us and be a part of that. And our time is about run out for today, but we'll be recognizing some of those prayer leaders tomorrow. And if you already have a prayer group going, especially in a church, if you just would like to be a part of our 1,000 prayer leaders group, there's no charge. Just go to bpnradio.com, go down to 1,000 prayer leaders, and you can register there. And we will include you in our prayer leaders. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. So delighted. And if you would like to make a donation, a contribution to Breakout Prayer Network, then our announcer is going to give you that information. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. And we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, actually any time, as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.